Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's go back to 2011 with Squidge. Let's look at the World Cup again with Squidge.
Hello, and welcome to a bonus edition of the Squidge Rugby World Cup retrospective, in which we won't be looking at a World Cup, we're still doing a retrospective.
Yeah, disclaimer, I have no idea what we're about to talk about in this episode. You've just come up to me and basically said, I want to talk to you about something which, yeah, as far as I'm aware, has something to do with rugby league.
Yes.
I don't really know anything other than that.
So, and you do say come up to us because it's the first time we've recorded in the same room.
Yeah,
the first time I've actually met you.
And funnily enough, we have recorded in the same house before, but we deliberately sat in different rooms.
Yeah, because I can't stand the stench of you.
Yeah,
and I can't, yeah, because it's now legal to visit another house.
Yeah,
so
weird, isn't it?
I've done it. I've come to a different house. It's actually my birthday as we record.
Oh, it is as well. Happy birthday.
It's my birthday. And this is how we want to spend it.
You know what?
What?
Should I go and get your birthday present live on air?
No.
So you can, okay.
No. Let's do that another time.
Okay.
That would have been great radio, though.
Yeah, because it's rugby related.
Oh, okay. Spoilers. Is it a sign, a map to the town rugby?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So we are here today to discover, to talk about my new favourite player of all time. And I discovered him yesterday, and I immediately began writing sort of a quiz to do on the podcast or something about this guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I thought, no, because the next episode on France is like 10 episodes away, and I couldn't wait that long to tell you about it. Because,
sure,
as I say, he is my favourite player of all time now. Okay.
Is it Lionel Boxis?
No.
You've been sleeping on him this whole time.
Who's the Frenchest player you've ever come across?
Probably Lionel Boxis.
Lionel Boxis. Any other contenders?
The
Frenchest player ever.
Oh, that's a good question. Jean-Marc Doussin's pretty French.
Jean-Marc Doussin.
Pascal Pape is pretty
because
French.
Because Jean-Marc Doussin became the only man to win his first cap in the World Cup final.
Yeah, exactly. Spoilers for the actual World Cup podcast that we did.
But do you want to know who the most French player of all time is?
Is it André the Giant?
No, it is Puig Albert.
His first name is Puig.
Puig. So his first name is actually Robert. Robert,
okay.
You know.
And he went by Puig.
Yes. So he became known as Puig because he was born Robert Albert Puig.
Okay.
But when he signed for Castres or Zornes as a teenager.
Caucus One?
Thank you.
Yes. That's all right.
I am fluent in French, by
the
way.
Yeah, me too.
Yes. He was printed in Le Newspaper du Local, which is French for the local newspaper.
Yeah.
As Puig Robert. They got his name wrong. They just put his name the wrong way.
He just stuck with it. Didn't want to
he just went
anyone.
With it. He just
it's
rolled
like,
with it.
Like Gary Gergic in Parks and Recreation.
Yes, or Dav Pilkey, the author of the Captain Fans books.
Yeah.
Who worked at a pizza
hut.
His
real name Dave.
His new name's Dave, but there's a printing error in his name badge, and so everyone just called him Dav, and he stuck with it. And so he doesn't mind people calling Dave or Dav.
That's a hell of a club of three people, an exclusive club.
Of, including French international Puig Albert. So,
sounds like a Captain Underpants character, to be fair.
He does. So, Puig Albert, right. My eyes were first drawn as I looked at his Wikipedia page, okay?
Yeah.
And he was best known for the fact he was known by the nickname Pepet, right?
Okay.
Can you guess why he might be called Pepet?
No. Is it like French for puppet?
No.
Or is it like a Pepet?
Like,
It's a science thing, right?
So he was known as Pepet because he smoked all the time. And this isn't just, when you say he smoked all the time, it's like someone once sent me on Twitter or whatever a story of they'd been to watch Toulouse as a kid, like when they played. They were a Toulouse fan, but they grew up in Italy.
Right.
And Toulouse played either Treviso or Zebre in the European Cup. And they went really excitedly to watch them. And they, after the match, they happened to see some of the players hanging out, and they saw Uge and Maxi and Maidal smoking behind the bike sheds. Oh, maybe it was Vincent Clay. It was Uge and another player, anyway.
Right, okay.
Of course it was Uge.
Yeah, I don't really have Maxi Maidal down as a smoker. Nor Vincent Clay.
No, Van Tolkien, I can see. I could see hanging out with the cool kids.
Yeah, I could see Alexis Palisson being the kind of guy who, after a couple of drinks, is persuaded by Uge.
Alexis Palisson owns at least 3 leather jackets.
Yes, he definitely does.
He does.
Yeah.
None of them suit him. Yeah, but he rolls with
it. I tell you what, he's never worn any of them outside his bedroom. He always looks at himself in the mirror and then, but doesn't take them out.
No. Like, twice a year he goes to a nightclub in a leather jacket. That's Alexis Palisson all over. So no, he's known as Pepet because not only did he smoke while he was playing,
yeah,
he used to smoke on the pitch. So during stoppages in play, he would keep a roll of fags in his sock, and he'd just take one out and smoke during stoppages.
That's incredible.
Except for famously in one game against Wigan, he was smoking whilst the scrum was completed. So he was a fullback. He was still at 10, and he caught the ball and ran with it. What?
Still smoking in his hands. That's incredible.
This was the first thing I read about this guy. It's like, this is already my favourite player.
Oh, hero.
And the more I read, the more I loved him.
That's brilliant. I mean, I've played a lot of third team rugby in my time, so I thought I'd played alongside every kind of player. And you know, I played with people who, like, even before like league games, because they don't believe in second team rugby. Mm. We'll have a pint before the match.
Sure.
Or we'll bring port with them, just because it's like, no, I can't do this serious stuff. I need to have an injection of something before the match. Or, you know, have a fag in the warm-up or whatever. Yeah. But never have I experienced carrying the ball in one hand and a fag in the other. That's an incredible, heroic bit of rugby.
Because he's French.
Yes.
Right. Okay, so do you know why he played rugby league? You know nothing about him, but...
No.
So, his dad, when he was a kid, tried to take him to play rugby union.
Okay.
And he loved it, but he hated his dad, so he started to play league instead.
What a bastard.
I know. Well, literally, because he's disowning his dad. Yeah?
Yeah.
Again, so French. So French. Everything about this man is so French.
I like to think he still keeps in touch with his dad.
Yeah.
He just did that to spite him and then keep him hanging on the thread just so he could keep knowing that this kid plays
that
the rugby league.
He went on to be, he is considered France's greatest all-time rugby league player.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much.
Rugby league's not very big in France, to my knowledge, is it?
Oh, there's a whole thing about it was during the Second World War. It was like outlawed by the Nazis, and it was basically the Nazis are due to why rugby league isn't big in France, apart from the Catalan.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, he took it up as an FU to his dad.
That's incredible.
Which is amazing. And that's what it takes in France. Like, there's a statue of him outside a rugby league ground. You know, like, he's pretty much like the biggest rugby league player.
And he was Pepet.
Pepet. the smoking man. You know, like, you look at Serge Blanco now, and he looks like he ate Serge Blanco in his playing career.
The Maradona effect.
Exactly, yeah. He is 6 times the size.
Yeah.
Pepet did that by the end of his career. So he stopped, during most of his playing career, he was about 9 stone.
Okay.
By the end of it.
Did you say he was like a fly-half equivalent?
He was a fullback. He was a fullback.
Okay, fullback, yeah.
He was a fullback.
I don't know Nietzsche standards very well, by the way.
So yeah, he, fullback, 9 stone for most of his career, you know, played in, not the amateur era, but the early era, you know.
Yeah.
That would have been amateur in the union.
Yeah.
And the era in which amateur rugby union players were quite easily coming across the league.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, okay.
So, by the end of his career, he'd more than doubled in weight.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Did he move positions, or?
He still played in the backs, I think. Right. So I think he's still probably playing, maybe centre, but still. So, you mentioned he's a fullback. And another great bit of trivia, and this is something I feel deeply in my heart as someone that's played, you know, a chunk of rugby at fullback.
Yeah.
He had this habit of sometimes, if a player missed an easy tackle, he would let the opposition player score because he felt
they learned their lesson.
Exactly. He felt it wasn't the fullback's job to tackle.
He's such a bitch, isn't he?
He would just let them run past him and score because he's like, well, it wasn't my tackle to make. You should have made it. So, like, if the winger let the guy run past him, he'd just go, no, I'm just going to let him score.
You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of, you know, that character in Arrested Development who has one arm, where they pull him out to teach people lessons about, that's why you always ring ahead, or whatever it is. That's why you always make your tackles. And he's there, you know, stubbing out his left winger with a fag.
Yeah. On his forehead.
Yeah.
That was it. He's probably off, like, lighting one as he's waiting, the guy runs past. And he's just like, is that guy smoking? Is this like a streaker? What's going on? So his story gets Frencher yet. So, as I mentioned, he was an incredibly talented rugby league player, right? Yeah. And he set the, still to this day, the record in rugby league of 18 kicks out of 18 in a test match.
Okay.
Right, France against Australia.
Okay.
Okay.
That's
so
a lot of kicks.
It's incredible, yeah. Like, that's a lot.
Holy discipline.
There's a story as well about one of them, and I'll just get the anecdote, word.
Yeah.
Which is apparently, like, virtually impossible. So, he... In a game against Australia at the Sydney Cricket Ground, he placed the ball where the corner post usually stands, and with a remarkable kick, curved it round between the goalposts.
Whoa.
Yeah. That was... So he'd kicked 17 kicks by that point.
And then he just did that to just show off.
Just on his last one, put it on the goal... Removed
what
the corner flag.
Bastard.
And I'm just going to curve the ball around like this,
I mean,
to show off.
Fair play if... You know, if you've got the talent like that, then that's a brilliant thing and that's worth praising. But what a fucking prick.
I know. Do you want to know the worst thing about this game, though?
We've not hit
no.
the worst thing.
About
yet.
This game.
Okay.
At half time, he drank a glass of red wine.
Of course he did.
And the worst thing is, at the time, this was seen as a strength because he'd often have three or four. He was a real player. He's not just every stereotype about the French condensed.
Okay. Hang on. So he nailed this corner flag kick whilst slightly pissed.
Yes. He's the man Marty Banks aspires to be.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh. So he would regularly smoke and drink during play.
Yes. No, he'd only drink at half time. He'd only drink at half time.
Okay, fair enough. He's got some morals. He's not
exactly,
a monster.
Yeah. Yeah, he needs time for it to digest, you know, get into his system.
Yeah. I wonder if he usually played better in the second or first half. But not only did he do all of this, but he was one of the renowned as the greatest French player ever.
Yeah, like the statues level good.
Could you imagine if Thierry Dussatoir knocked back Shandy's at half-time?
Imagine if he came out onto that pitch in the second half in 2007,
yeah,
kind of swaying.
The stony-faced flanker who is known to not sweat, and, you know, instead he's got other fluids going around his body. That's bizarre. And
quote on his Wikipedia page, during half-time breaks, he was known to drink up to 5 glasses of red wine.
Jesus Christ. That is a mighty amount of wine as well.
Like. However, I can add to this as well. There's another fact about him that I love.
Yeah.
Right? Which is that he would do this quite often,
mm-hmm.
which is after scoring a try, as his celebration.
Yeah.
Again, this is incredibly French. So, in his spare time, he used to write poetry and send it to newspapers.
Oh my God, you're making this up.
And he would... rolled up poems in his sock.
I knew it was something to do with the sock.
And he'd write these poems that he would then place on the try line, handwritten poems in French, to taunt the opposition in the hope they'd read it in the huddle. So, like, the opposition fullback, having, you know, watched him run past, because he's like, oh, this fullback isn't proper, like, you know, I've got to actually beat him and step him. He would then put the ball down and put down next to it a little poem.
This feels like, you know, in Super Smash Brothers, when you can do, like, the taunts to other people.
Exactly, yeah.
It feels like that.
Yeah.
That, you know, he rolls down his sock, brings out the poetry and hands it to his opposite man. Like, I also have this image in my mind of, like, them in their halftime huddle and the referee coming up to him saying, all right, lads, everything, you're happy with everything? And him being like, yeah, it's all good. Can you just hand this to their captain, please? And it's a poem that basically says, you know, you're shit.
Yeah.
Jamud. Yeah, yeah. What rhymes with
French? That's I am, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. It is. I am shit.
Do you want to know something else truly remarkable?
Oh, there's more.
He went on to captain France at a Rugby League World Cup.
Jesus Christ.
Imagine this guy as your captain.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay. The thing is, right, so going back to what you were saying about that try celebration, did he do that every time he scored a try?
Not every time, but he'd do it often. Majority. Like he did it. Yeah. It wasn't just like a one-off thing. It was he would do it. It was like a habit.
Okay. Yeah. And it wasn't just in like small games.
He'd done it in games for France. He'd done it in club games.
Okay. So it's like a mixture of stuff. Because the thing is, right, I was genuinely expecting that, like, if he scores like a great solo try, then he would just like start doing lines off the opposition or something like that.
Not picking running lines.
No.
We're talking full John Hardy.
So, the thing is, right, he's the captain. And again, like, imagine tight game here. You know, France playing against, I don't know, Italy, for example.
So,
what's a similar match to France in rugby league? I don't really know. France playing Italy. Let's say score is 9-8 going in at half time. And then he's there going in thinking like, okay, and the vice captain's thinking, right, okay, what we need to improve on? We need to improve on taking 5 tackles and then kicking the ball.
Yeah.
Or whatever tactics are in rugby league. I've never played it. And the coach has got this mapped out.
He knows
what he's doing. The coach then says his bit and then says, like, okay, Pooge, over to you, sir. And then he's just there. He's knocked back his 3rd glass of wine. And then he just kind of goes, and then he just starts mumbling all about the place.
He just reads one of his poems.
Yeah.
She was as beautiful as when she was 16.
And goes up to the hooker and says, you're my best friend.
He goes up to the hooker and he's a different... Hey, there you go. Because that would be
Alley-o.
Up his alley. Yeah. He also... So he was France's captain in the inaugural Rugby League World Cup, in the first Rugby League World Cup, 1994. Okay. And where he, in the last few minutes against New Zealand, went for a random drop goal just because he wanted to be the first person to score a drop goal
in the Rugby League World Cup. Well.
Yeah, I respect that. Yeah, I respect him going like, I want to be the first person to ever do this. I'm going to do it.
People will be quoting me in future World Cups.
Exactly. People are bringing me up as like, oh, it's the first person to score a drop goal. I've got no idea who scored the first drop goal in the Rugby World Cup.
No, me neither.
No.
But I do in Rugby League now.
Yeah, I know Johnny Wilkins has scored one once.
Did he?
Yeah. Because he missed that one against Australia in the last minute, famously. And then Eddie Jones won the World Cup. He was unsufferable ever since. That's a lose-lose situation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Those are most of the key points on Poujabert.
Okay.
There's a few points of like, so he went and signed for rugby union because he got bored.
Okay.
After he got fat.
How did his dad feel about that?
I think his dad was dead by then. I think that's why he went and did it.
Oh. Such a bastard.
No.
Classic Pouj.
Oh, okay, yes. No, there is, as I say, remarkable player for France. Won 46 caps between 1946 and 1956, which is really impressive for the time.
Yeah.
However, he then went on to retire in 1960, where he then went on to work as a commercial employee for the Paul Richard Company.
Right.
Whilst also working as he was a coach of youth teams.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine?
I was expecting you to say he became a drug dealer.
Underage drinking encouragement. Yeah.
Yeah, completely on the other side. Oh yeah, imagine that. Imagine like the tours they went on. The team socials with like the
He's
other fives.
He's totally the guy who waits outside, waiting outside a liquor store. Mm. Who goes in and buys 16-year-olds drink.
Yeah,
he's that guy.
I reckon McLovin played for his team.
Yes. So...
It's weird how I'm coming out with the film references today, aren't I?
I've never seen any films.
Yeah.
However, in the late 1980s, finally his habits caught up with him and he was diagnosed with lung cancer.
Oh.
At which point, when he was diagnosed, he shrugged and walked out of the doctor's office. He died of a heart attack a few years later in 1994.
Rest in peace, Pouge.
Yeah. and the world has been a worse place ever since.
Yeah, yeah.
He is a true and genuine legend of the game.
Yeah.
For every possible reason.
Do you think he was basically like the sporting Keith Richards?
Absolutely, yeah.
In the whole thing of, you know, every time you smoke, it takes an hour off your life and adds it to Keith Richards.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's the same thing that it adds it to Pooja's France career. It adds another minute.
Can you imagine someone doing that nowadays? In the year of, like, top-end professional diet plans.
Yeah.
Smoking on the pitch.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to respect the hustle in the game there, though, haven't you?
I thought you were going to say that Keith Richards is going to get in the England squad next year.
Absolutely. Could imagine happen. It. Yeah, yeah.
No, yeah. By the way, who is 76 and still smokes.
Yeah.
Legend.
Who can blame him? He's getting away with it. So, those are my rundown of facts on Pujabert. Do you agree he is the greatest player of all time?
Yeah, I think he is. Are you aware of Bootlegger on Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the Welsh alcoholic guy. Like, he reminds me very much of him in that, like, he's an alcoholic, but he's like, just everybody embraces it. It's just like, oh, well, everyone has a passion in the world, and his is drinking pints.
Yeah.
Like, Pooj very much is like, if Bootlegger did live the dream and go on to play for Wrexham and then Wales subsequently, then he would be Pooj.
That's pretty much what went on. Yeah. Except he was phenomenally talented, but hated tackling, which I respect.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Like, every aspect of that, the commitment to Frenchness, to his national core. There's never been anyone that's made a country as proud as him ticking up every single national stereotype.
Even the poetry, man.
I know. Like, there's no baguettes, but otherwise. I suppose he ballooned in weight, so he must have eaten lots of baguettes. That must have been it. Like, he must have just committed. You know, going around Parisian cafes, drinking small coffee, and eating baguettes, whole baguettes in one sitting.
Oh, what a hero, man.
I know, an absolute hero.
And the fact that, like, that would be funny enough if it was like, oh, you know what, he played, like, top 14 and was a fairly decent player, like a kind of, like an Andy Goode or somebody like that, who, like, made a decent... I know, I said top 14, that's rugby union, wrong bloody sport. But, you know what I mean. But, like, you know, it's funny enough when there's stuff like that happens at, like, third team rugby, and people do stuff like that. But the fact that he was the GOAT.
Yes.
And he still did all of this.
But did he have to be to get away with it? You know?
Probably,
and I guess
yeah.
it's not like, you know, like Michael Jordan was so competitive that he just took every single advantage.
Yeah.
He was so naturally talented, Pujabert, that he didn't need to do that.
How good would he have been sober?
I imagine. Imagine, yeah.
Or if he had any lungs left, like...
How did he play 80 minutes?
I was going to say, do we reckon he played any games post-death?
He was far fitter.
Yeah.
It's like when Sean Edwards got to him.
Yeah.
Oh, Sean Edwards killed him and revived him.
Yeah.
It's like Crank 2.
Oh, man.
Starring Jason Statham.
Films.
Have you ever seen Crank 2?
I've not.
Have you seen Crank?
No.
Why am I talking to you?
I don't know. I wasn't meaning to bring this up.
So, spoilers for the film Crank. But he dies at the end, the main character, played by Jason Statham, Chef Chelios. And the tagline for Crank 2 is, he was dead, but then he got better. Mm. And he never... Oh, they do explain how he got... But, you know, he comes back to life.
Yeah.
And now he's powered by electricity. It's really good, but it's not as good as Crank.
I really want to believe in reincarnation as just a concept now, because that means that there is somebody in the world who is Pooj.
Yes, yes. He's playing a different sport. He's taking it like croquet.
Hey, could be Marty Banks.
Could be Marty Banks. Ooh.
Reincarnated as a New Zealander. And he just had that one moment where his past life just flashed into his head before he was about to...
He recalled his past life. Like Uncle Boo Me. It all comes in a circle.
Oh, man.
Welcome back to the Uncle Boo Me cast.
Yeah.
I hope you've enjoyed this.
Is that what we should call this? Like the spin-off?
Because we talked about doing... Our two ideas for like a rugby podcast thing was either the World Cup retrospective thing that we started doing.
Yeah.
Or it was doing a kind of spin-off on peripheral bits about rugby.
Yeah,
I think this
ties
into it. And I think maybe we do this as bonus bits.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Like, basically... The way I phrased it to you when we talked about it the other day, very briefly, was just anything that's really, really terrible, would you discuss it like it's a World Cup match?
Yes, yeah. Kind of peripheral rugby bit. So like talking about the kick and talking about, the film The Kick, the Stephen Donner biopic, not just a kick.
Yeah.
Or,
me kicking you.
That's what the film is about. It's just about a kick.
Yeah.
It's not even an imprint. It's a kick from between the posts.
Yeah. I just kicked you. Could have coronavirus.
Thank you. I'm delighted to have it.
Yeah.
It's a real honour and privilege. So, so we may do more of this if you enjoy it. Please let us know things. and we may see you in the future. But for now, I say, wherever you are in the world, go to your kitchen, pour a glass of red wine and toast to the one and only Pooja Albert.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. And also, happy birthday, man.
Oh, thank you. I forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pooja Albert. Pooja Albert. It's all about Pooja Albert. It's not his birthday. In fact, he will have died 10 days and 26 years ago.
Oh.
So.
Rest in peace, Pooja Albert.
Rest in Pooja Albert. He won't want to be peaceful in death. He wants to be raving in death. Yeah. He wants heaven to be like an all night club.
Yeah.
Where Alexis Palasson's in there with a leather jacket.
I bet he's just there on a rugby league pitch, just smacking everybody. You know, reading poems about, you know, oh, I guess his dad's.
No, his dad's dead as well. So yeah, he's got to go and play rugby league again to annoy him.
Oh man.
Yeah. Well, R.I.P. Pooja Albert, the goat.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.